Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17 on this Christmas Eve morning, joined by our friend Ronald Sturpass, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, now a professor at Loyola, a professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. A lot of years as a police officer, a lot of years in law enforcement. Merry Christmas, Chief.
Merry Christmas, Tommy. I wish the best to you and yours.
And we wish you the best, too. We really do appreciate your time. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, as a law enforcement officer and a lifelong guy, a guy that's committed his life to law enforcement, do the holidays mean anything to you in terms of crime awareness that other times of year don't? Where it's kind of like, I make the analogy of a carpenter, sometimes it's hard to look at a house without seeing studs behind the walls, where that kind of is like you with the holidays and crime?
I think it might be opposite. Thinking through it for a second after you asked, looking back on all the years I served during Christmas, it seemed like it was a lighter spirit. It was a lighter time. People were a bit more collegial to one another, even in neighborhoods where you thought there might have been issues. Pretty quickly, you know, people who are going to be criminal, it doesn't matter what time of the day or week they're criminal, but it does matter that they don't want to get caught. And during Christmas, there just seems to be more of a feeling of camaraderie and brothership and sistership and friendship. Hey, that's about as 10,000 foot as you can get. But in the three states I worked at Christmas, it always seemed just a little better.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to preponderance of crime, there are always, unfortunately, sharks circling looking to take advantages. What can people do this holiday season to keep themselves safe?
Be thoughtful, be thought-provoking. You know, the biggest safety risk we face during holidays like this, believe it or not, Tommy, is drunk driving and the incidences of drunk driving, killing, injuring people who weren't even drinking in another car, for example. That's a big issue during the holiday season. Another holiday season, particularly the younger people of our community who are going to enjoy the unique wonderfulness of the French Quarter, staying out too late and getting separated from your friends is never going to be a good outcome, whether it's Christmas or summer. But, you know, just think a little more carefully. And the most important thing is we have the ability, when you feel a little something don't feel right, it usually means because something ain't right. So stay with your friends. Stay close to your senses. Don't get behind the wheel of a car that's driven by a drunk, or don't drive a car drunk. Those are usually the three biggest.
You know, I always like to pick your brain about different things. And I was watching an old movie, and it had a little thing that came on, a little filler, I guess, he used to run between films. It was made in 1942, and it was some either police chief or actor playing a police chief, and he was talking about juvenile crime. And I just thought about you when I saw this, because this was back in the 40s, and they said most juvenile crime is unplanned. It's just opportunity. And I was just wondering how today's juvenile crime compares with then.
Well, first off, I thought those old videos of me had been taken care of. You know, I've had several surgeries. I don't look the same as I did in 1942.
You look better, which is odd, which is a tribute to the surgery. You should be proud of that, because you were a young man when I saw you on this video. But now you look even better. So all the good for you, Chief. Congratulations.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
There's a lot of sociological theories of crime. The one that I think makes the most sense from my experience as a police officer is something called routine activities. You assume there's a motivated offender, you assume there's a suitable target, and you assume there's a lack of a capable guardian. And when those three things come together, a crime can happen. So if a juvenile is motivated to quit, this is how I'd make it to that analogy. If a juvenile is walking around motivated to commit crime, it could happen spontaneously, but they've got to find something they want, and they got to look to see if nobody's there to watch. If those three things come together, you generally have a crime. And now there's a bunch of other sociologists who have a lot of different views on how crime gets created. But as a cop in the street for four decades, I think that one makes a sense. I made my mind up. I'm going to do something. I'm looking for what I want to get, and I'm looking to see if anybody's watching me. And that makes the most sense to me. And that can happen with a juvenile in the split of in a blink of an eye, and an intended criminal within a blink of an eye.
All right, let me take a break. We come back and we'll talk about violent crime decreasing in 2025, looking ahead to the big events we got planned and likelihood that it's sustainable into the new year. Ronald Surpass, our guest, 822 Traffic Now, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Ronald Surpass, who always joins us on Wednesday morning, talk about crime. Chief, when it comes to the drop in murders, violent crime in 2024, is it sustainable going into 2025, and what has to be done?
Well, let's hope it is. 2024 has been a good year. There's a lot of reasons to be happy. There's fewer people been killed, fewer people been robbed, raped, shot. Those are all wonderful signs. 25 is going to be busy. They're going to do the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras back-to-back. We did that in 2013 when I was here. If you remember, 1 week of Mardi Gras, 1 week of Super Bowl, 1 week of Mardi Gras. The police department's got experience. They've practiced that before. I hope into the 25 year that they hire somebody, not me. I hope they bring in some experts who really can help them figure out what is the correct number of officers to answer the radio with efficiency and effectiveness and timeliness, and to investigate crimes with the same level of scientific analysis. We do this all over the country, Tommy, because departments have to confront. We're never going to be as big as we used to be. Just times are changing. It's just the way it is. So in 25, I would hope that the department would do something like that so the community can have a fact-based, science-based understanding of what the number of officers need to be to continue to build on this success. 24 is a good year.
One thing else I wanted to ask you about, I saw the story at NOLA.com about NOPD homicide detective of all last names, Fife. I can only imagine the grief that this poor man went through throughout his career.
Barney.
Yeah, homicide detective James Fife, but he's got, man, like a solve rate as opposed to a clearance rate. And explain the difference, and what is it, Chief, in your opinion, that makes a great homicide detective?
Three things. A solve rate just means you've identified somebody and you may have a warrant, but that doesn't count as a cleared rate. A cleared is someone who's been arrested or couldn't be arrested. So the only data point the government captured is the clear mm-hmm. rate. Departments might do solve. The quintessential homicide detective in my mind and working in three different states in over 40 years is the person you could never pick out of a crowd. They're very self-assured. They don't have bombastic personalities. They don't have all this javive. They're just really smart, patient, almost obsessive-compulsive personalities like a pilot, right? You don't ever want to get on a plane where the pilot's not going over the checklist every single time because there's no room for error. Best homicide detectives I've ever had, and we recommend this in practice, they have checklists to make sure they didn't forget anything. They look at people as innocent until they can prove them guilty. Columbo used to look at people as guilty, and he would try to prove them guilty. Remember the old Columbo mm-hmm. show, right? He knew in the first scene who did it. That is an example of the worst kind of detective. The detective who doesn't assume who it is and finds their way to him is the best detective.
He's got to be, I would think, or she's got to be somebody that's willing to admit if they're wrong, and then
absolutely,
almost like scientific method, prove it to themselves, make sure it stands up.
Very true. And think, I'm not making light about this checklist idea. Mm-hmm. We looked at the 10 biggest cities in America and their homicide and non-fatal shooting practices, and one of the highest reliable factors of a higher clearance rate, an arrest rate, was checklists and supervisors managing detectives as opposed to being friends and sitting around the bullpen talking about what they thought they knew. No, I'm the boss. You're not. Come in. You've got five murder cases here. I notice on none of these you've done none of the work you said you were going to do because the checklist hasn't been completed. It sounds too fundamental, but sometimes the most fundamental things are the things that are the most successful. That's why they're fundamental.
We always talk about, you know, to get an experienced officer. How long does it take to develop a really good homicide detective?
I'd say probably 100 cases. Uh-huh. By the time they get through 100 cases, they're going to see the different types. You know, some cases you'll never solve, unfortunately. Some cases are essentially the offender is, you know, standing by a tree with a note from God. That's the guy who did it. Mm. So there's going to be these variations of cases. Some involve multiple perpetrators or multiple victims. So after about 100, I think, is when you start seeing detectives who are very seasoned and know some of the ups and downs. And then secondly, let's not forget, one of my son-in-laws was a homicide detective and did a tremendous job. My other son-in-law is a digital forensics detective. Today's digital forensics detective, the ones that look at car infotainment systems, digital forensics on cell phones, are my era's DNA. These cases that these detectives are making with equipment that people use that they can turn over to an accomplished homicide detective are helping us solve murders, robberies, homicides, sexual assaults in a way that we'd never done it before. So let's keep thinking. It's not just the homicide detective always. When you have a digital forensics unit that's well stood up, Ms. Pat Taylor gave us the money for that in 2011 when I was chief. That entire digital forensics thing in New Orleans was paid by donations of Ms. Pat Taylor. Those cases bring hard, solid evidence that's very difficult to overcome, and you don't need as many witness statements because in our city, Tommy, and in other cities in the country, it's true. There are people who see murders, but they are so afraid for their own life or retaliation of the murderer that they won't talk. So we need to find other ways. So DNA, digital forensics, fingerprint analysis, license plate readers, these all make homicide detectives stronger because they have more questions to ask when the detective in the digital unit says, hey, did you know Tommy's phone connected to the infotainment center on his car when he was 20 feet away from it when he said he was on the other side of the river and the car was in the east? Those are the kind of leads that detectives can turn into activity to determine truth or not truth.
Chief, I appreciate you. I appreciate picking your brain. Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas. It's 8:33. We're 3 minutes late, but it's Christmas Eve. We'll all live. Back in a flash, WWL.